Luke chapter 2, verse 15. We find ourselves in familiar territory, this side of Christmas, of course, but the angels have just announced to those shepherds that they must find the sign of the Saviour who's been born, the baby lying in cloths in a manger. And then this happens. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the great sacrifice of leaving your eternal throne and coming to us to be one like us so that we can be one with you. Speak to us, Lord. And give us the grace to do what you want us to do and be the person you want us to be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the story that we have just read in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, starting from verse 15, is one which many of us are very familiar with. But there are some important elements in that story, which if we are not careful, we will just gloss over it. The angel had come. The angel had announced to the shepherds. The shepherds had, and the shepherds went to find out whether what the angel said was really true. So the angels have now gone away to heaven. And now we are faced with the response of the shepherds. They take the news of a Savior, the wonder of what they had just witnessed, and they decided that they wanted to go and see the things for themselves. Our text says that they went with haste. It only seems reasonable for these shepherds who had the message from the angel to go and see whether it is really true. It's not every time you have angelic visitors, especially if you are a shepherd. And when they went, what did they find? They found Mary and Joseph and a newborn baby lying in a manger, all trussed up in swaddling clothes, just as they have been told. There was nothing remarkable about the scene. Some of them may have had their children born in a stable, sleeping in a feed trough just like Jesus. What was remarkable was that the angels had told them that this particular baby was Christ the Lord. That is like saying he is the Messiah, who is God himself. So how did they respond? We are told that they told everyone. They told Mary, they told Joseph. And I won't be surprised if the shepherds had been knocking on doors and saying, "The Messiah is here. The Savior has been born. The person we have been waiting for the past 400 years, he is now here with us." If we just hear that story, we think, Oh, that's great. The shepherds are doing something wonderful. But when you think about the background to the story, who are the shepherds? Shepherds at that time, they come from the base elements in the society. You could call them the miscreants of those days. In fact, the tradition has it that if a shepherd gives a testimony in a law court, it's as though it is nothing. It will not be accepted. They were so little trusted that their testimony was nothing. Most shepherds were considered on a par with con men, oftentimes. They steal sheep, and they do all sorts of things. So why is it that God will decide to give such a wonderful story, news, to people whose testimony could not be trusted? It tells us more about the character of God. Because when this message was given to the shepherds no longer thought about themselves or what the society thought about them. What mattered was the change that had come upon them. And this change did not come when they had the vision of angels. It was fear that overwhelmed them. They were excited that they saw angels. But the change only came when they went and they had a contact with that baby that was Christ the Lord. So our experiences, whatever they are, nice experiences, visions, dreams, wonderful things that we feel God has done for us, until that encounter with Jesus Christ is established, you cannot really have a visible change. And that's what happened to the shepherds. They went and they saw the baby just as the angel had said, and they were changed. Their lips were loosed. They went out, almost knocking on people's door. We don't care whether you trust us or not, but we have a message to tell you. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is born, and he's there in that manger. Similar thing that God did when Jesus Christ had the encounter with the woman at the well. This is a woman that nobody wanted to associate with. But when this woman had an encounter with Jesus Christ, she went around and was telling everybody, come and listen. Come and listen to this person. He told me everything about myself. Could he be the Messiah? That is what happens when we have that interaction with Jesus. You cannot have that experience with him and remain the same. That's what happened to the shepherds. God's way oftentimes is not our way. That wasn't a likely way to win the world. Certainly not the way we would have done it. If we had planned it, Jesus Christ would have been born in Jerusalem to a wealthy family, attended by high and mighty. But that's not God's way. He was born, yes, to a Jewish family, peasants. And when the announcement was made, the first people who you could call the evangelists that God sent out were shepherds. Their lives were changed. They saw themselves the way God saw them. And they were so excited, so overwhelmed, that they wanted everybody to know that this is what God has done for me. God, in his characteristic way, he came to the Jews. But as we read stories in Luke progressively, you find out that he revealed himself to wise men too, who were Gentiles. The shepherds were peasant, the wise men were rich. So between the two extremes, you will find a niche for yourself that God has not left you out. The only thing is, don't just hear the story. You need to experience it. That is what brings about a change in the life of a person. God's ways are not our ways. It's a great thing that happened in that first Christmas night. And oftentimes, we forget. We become too familiar with the story. Yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's the culmination of the work he came to do. But one of the greatest things that happened is for God to take on the form of humanity. I told a story not quite long ago, which I read about somebody who had a disaster. He wanted to help his family, but along the line, he got his face scarred, disfigured. And this person will not allow anyone to see him because he felt his face was so disfigured, he didn't want people to see it. So he locked himself up in a room. His wife also was barred from seeing him. And the wife was so confused, he was so concerned, he went to the doctor who was a plastic surgeon. Please come and help my husband. And the plastic surgeon said, how can I help him when he doesn't allow me to come into his room? So the surgeon asked the wife, why have you come? He won't allow you to see him. He won't allow me to see him. So why have you come? And the lady said, I have come to make a proposition to you. I want my face to be scarred, to be disfigured, just like the one of my husband. When he sees me, he will be able to appreciate how far I am willing to go in order that the two of us can communicate. So the surgeon went to the lady and said, if that is what you want, I will go with you. And he knocked on the door. The man said, go away. I've said, I don't want to see you. And the surgeon said, I can help you. I can fix your face again. I don't want to see you. Say, well, but you need to listen to what I've got to say. Your wife has offered that I should disfigure her face so that it can look like yours. And with you having the same disfigured face, you will understand that she's just one like you. That touched a raw nerve in this man. And he opened the door. The surgeon was able to come in and help him. This woman, the wife, was willing to go to the level of that man in order to help him. Yes, her face wasn't disfigured. But in the case of Jesus, it was not just a proposal. His face was disfigured. He took on our form, our humanity, our disfigurement. He became one like us. You think we are the best creature that you can ever see? You need to wait until you get to eternity and see the face of Jesus and you see you haven't seen anything. And yet he took on our form. It's like me taking the nature of a squirrel. What has a squirrel got to offer me? The brilliant lights of Christmas, the mince pies that will give me 4,000 calories on this side of Christmas, and all those nice things. What has a squirrel got to offer you? Nuts. But that's what Jesus Christ became. One like us. Until we come to realize the big sacrifice that God made to become one like us, we will not appreciate his going to the cross to die for our sins. So the shepherds They appreciated the message of the angels and they went to see the Christ child himself. And they were so overwhelmed, they were changed. They went out rejoicing. Yes, this is the good news that God had promised. We have seen it with our eyes. We have touched it. And we must tell it. That's like the testimony of John. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have touched. That is what we proclaim to you, that you may have fellowship with us. But that is not all the response we have. In the case of Mary, Mary treasured all these things that she had. Because Mary too was getting to understand this Christ child that God had given to them. This Jesus is the Savior of the world. We need a Savior no less than the shepherds did. We are just not accustomed to thinking about it, except in church. And perhaps some of us find it inconvenient when the minister makes us face that reality so often, too clearly. But the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger was born to be our Savior, and he is. Tell me, if you look around our world today, if people really think very well, we all need a Savior. The open market is no longer safe. Our buses are not safe. If you are in your home, it's not safe. If you are walking on the streets, it's not safe. There is terror in France. There is terror in Germany. There is terror in Istanbul. Iraq is not safe. Iran is not safe. Africa is not safe. China is not safe. And this Jesus calls himself the Prince of Peace. You experience peace in the midst of turmoil. He's the one who gives you that confidence that in the midst of the confusion, I can walk with my head up because I know somebody who is holding me. Oftentimes when I write to people, I end the letter by saying, in his grip, I am in his grip, remain in his grip. That's something I have learned. That oftentimes it's so easy for me to slip away from the hold of Jesus. But when he's the one holding me, that grip, the world cannot separate it. When he is the power behind the grip, who am I? I can only enjoy the comfort, the assurance that he is the one that is holding me. But that will not come until you have come into contact. You've had a personal contact with this Jesus. You can hear all the messages. You can hear messages of angels. But you must experience the Christ child yourself. And that is what it means to have a relationship with him. That relationship makes a world of difference. And let's look at the final verse of that segment, verse 21. We are told that on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Jesus was a common name, but this is a Jesus with a difference. This is the Jesus who is the Christ. This is the Jesus who is going to change the destiny of humanity. This is the Jesus who is God, who created the world, who has come to his own. This is the Jesus that turns unreliable shepherds into evangelists. And on that eighth day, something happened. If we start counting with Christmas Day, December 25, and count 8 days, that's how the church calendar has arranged it, We come to January 1, and on that 8th day, Jesus Christ was circumcised, and he received his name. The story is told just in a single verse of the gospel that we had. The shepherds, summoned by an angel, they have visited the baby in the manger. They return home praising God. And when the 8 days are fulfilled, the circumcision of the child was done. When you say circumcision, some of us don't know what it entails. Circumcision brings with it the shedding of blood. It's not a practice that is often done here. But in Africa, male children are circumcised, almost like what happens in the Old Testament. So what happens on that 8th day? Jesus Christ had his first step, his first experience in the shedding of his blood for the redemption of the world. He didn't need to be circumcised. It was a sign of belonging which God, the covenant God, made with Abraham. Circumcise all male children in your household. He took our disfigurement. He wants to fulfill every part of the law. Those ones that you and I cannot fulfill, Jesus Christ fulfilled all of them. That is why I don't have to be turning the pages of Leviticus to find out how many times must I offer blood before God listens to me. How many times must I offer blood before I stand on this chancel? How many times must I offer blood because before I know that my sins are forgiven? Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the requirements of the law by shedding his blood. And that was the first step in the shedding of his blood for the redemption of the world. His blood will be shed abundantly when his life draws to its close. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he will pray so fervently, so urgently to know God's will that his sweat will resemble clots of blood falling on the ground. Blood will drip from his body when he's been beaten by the soldiers, when he's scourged with whips, and when they press a crown of thorn on his head, blood will flow. Blood will drip as he carries his cross to Calvary. And when spikes are driven through his feet and his hands, blood will flow. And blood will drip even when he is dead, when the sharp point of the Roman lance is thrust into his heart. The blood shed at his circumcision is only a small beginning, the promise of what awaits him. But something more than circumcision happens to Jesus on his 8th day. He receives his name, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, who has taken our form in order to heal the disfigurement that is on us as a result of sin. Will we let him? Like the case of the lady I told you, it was that sacrifice the woman was willing to give that made the husband say, "Come in." Jesus Christ did not only make the promise, he died on the cross for us. Whatever may be the tag the world has put on us, when we have the encounter with Jesus, it makes a world of difference. He turns unreliable shepherds, he turns them into evangelists. Have you had that encounter with Jesus? What effect has it produced? He's looking for men and women that will tell the world that he is here. He is our peace, he is our hope. As we go into 2017, challenges are ahead of us. Perhaps some of us have some fears. We still have baggage that we brought all the way from 2016. When you touch Jesus and you have the encounter with him and you put your trust in him, He can hold you in his grip, and he will assure you of his presence, come what may, January or December, rain or shine, here on earth or in eternity. He can assure us of his presence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks because of the great love you have for us, coming to your world, which you created, becoming one like us, so that through our interaction with you, we can be one like you. Thank you, Lord. And as we go into the new year, we want to put our hands in your hands, that you may lead us, guide us, and give us a sense of your presence. Thank you, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.